Happy Monday, everyone.
Hey, happy Monday.
Happy snowy Monday.
Uh-oh. Peter, aren't you in Florida?
No, Central Ohio.
Oh, I was gonna say, oh my goodness, what happened? See, I believe Paul is planning to join, and my computer is going to take just a second to get warmed up. Looks like Paul is not on yet, but I think we're ready to go. Otherwise, we have a good agenda today with welcoming to some of our newest Folio members from the University of Missouri, who are, I think, online and going to give an introduction. And then we also have some fulsome discussions around membership expansion, benefits, and value. So, why don't we start off with the University of Missouri? I am on my small screen at the moment, but I do believe, is Katie on or other colleagues from University of Missouri?
Hi, yes, this is Katie Roman from the University of Missouri. And I also have some of my colleagues with me here today.
Well,
Well,
Katie,
Katie, thank you
Katie,
so
thank
much
you
for
so much for
joining.
joining.
Sorry, that's
Sorry, that's
me.
me. There we go.
Okay.
Katie, thank you so much for joining. And if you'd like to introduce University of Missouri and some of your interests in the Folio project, we have many people who'd be keen to hear.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead. I have a short presentation. I'll go ahead and share my screen here. Okay. So, a little bit about the University of Missouri System Libraries. We're a consortium of four campuses and the State Historical Society of Missouri. So they're kind of the four campuses and the State Historical Society are like are separate institutions. So we're more like a consortium. So we have 37 libraries, about 5 million bib records, and almost 9.5 million items. So that's kind of how big our catalog is. So this is just kind of our team here. Some of them are here today. So the kind of we selected Folio through an RFP process back in 2021. We completed migration June 2022. We are currently hosted by EBSCO. They host our Folio and MetaDB. Each campus and the State Historical Society have a Folio site coordinator. So I'm the systems librarian for the entire UM system. So anything changes affecting the entire system are kind of my responsibility. And then each campus has its own site coordinator as well. We're currently on Brampton's. We're scheduled for Sunflower in March 2026. And we do have some Folio integrations. We have ViewFind hosted by Index Data, EDS, MetaDB, Panorama, Backstage Services, and so forth. So we're already kind of active in the community. So we have librarians and staff, mostly from this team right here, that attend some Folio SIGs on a regular basis, including acquisitions, discovery, implementers, metadata management, data import, reporting, resource access, and support. Our kind of development areas of interest, authority control is probably our top one. So we are kind of holding off on implementing or using the MARC Authority app until batch automatic linking is available. Bulk edit, a lot of our catalogers and so forth would like some more fields that they can edit. Data import, we do have some issues with it. Having some records, frequent error messages, and the error logs don't really provide the best explanation. So we're looking forward to improvements in those. Data export, people really want to be able to edit and delete profiles, inventory, mostly searching improvements we're looking for. And course lists, we're always looking for more fields, and we realize that's kind of on the roadmap, and some more cross joins between tables. And serials could use some of our serial staff think they need some more development with the serials app before they cannot rely on third-party software. And that's it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. And can I ask you what convinced you? Many people use Folio, especially with a hosted service provider like EBSCO. What convinced you that it was worth joining as a member?
I think it was worth joining because we realized that Folio is open source software, that it's the community that drives this. It's not proprietary. And so we felt like, we want to give a little bit more input into the Folio community. We have some of our members or staff are really, especially our catalogers and acquisition staff, are really looking forward to certain developments. And we kind of want to be more actively participate in that as well to work with the various SIGs and so forth to see that development come through. And if any of my colleagues want to answer too.
Katie, let me ask one more question, then open up to colleagues who are on the call, also from the Folio community. As you've said, you're already somewhat well steeped in the Folio community. How are you finding it as a community in which to work? Are there things that work well and things that you think might work better?
So I'm currently a member of the four SIGs right now. And so I think One of the things I notice with the SIGs is that each SIG kind of has its own way of creating JIRAs, how things are moved forward in the community, who should create JIRAs and so forth. So it's not always clear if we do have an issue, how we should move forward. So I think if there was more consistency across the SIGs on like what the process is, I mean, some things like data import are wonderful. They have step-by-step instructions on how to, if you have an issue, how to move forward, and so forth. So I think that's something maybe. I think also one of the documentation is in various places. It's, we have the Folio docs, of course, maintained by the documentation SIG. And that kind of provides very brief information. But when you want to try to find something on the wiki, it's not the easiest thing to find. I know be to go to the SIG that, a lot of times they have implementer topics and a list of issues they're currently working on. But I think some of our staff that want to get more involved, we kind of have to, it's kind of a learning curve on how to get the information you need.
I have to say, I'm not surprised to hear either one of those things.
I'm sure you hear it all the time.
the colleagues from the community, do you have any questions for Katie or others from University of Missouri?
Katie, hi, this is Lisa. I'm not on the CC, but I'm on the product council. So I just want you to know I hear you with the consistencies of the JIRAs, and we're on a subgroup. And I had thought the same thing myself. Wouldn't that be helpful if we had a common way to do that? So I appreciate your feedback there, because hopefully we can come to something that makes it a little more smooth and streamlined.
And one thing I would like is, I'm a systems librarian, so I take a dabble a little bit in each kind of app, but I'm not like a specialist in one certain area. So I'm not an expert in acquisitions by any means. So we're trying to convince some of our people that do the day-to-day work for, resource access and acquisitions to be more involved in the SIGs. And so I was just wondering if anyone has any advice on it. I'm kind of advertising it, the resource access SIG, for example, they're having an introduction today for new members, and we're slowly getting people besides us involved in the community. But if anyone has any good ideas on how to get some others more involved, they're more subject specialists.
Hey, Katie, this is Sean Nicholson at Michigan State University. Welcome. We're so glad you have joined us. One thing we've done is maybe a, I don't know, a different approach is not necessarily saying go to a SIG, but get engaged in Bug Fest. It's a smaller commitment in some ways, because it's not forever. It's time bound. But it's also leverages specifically their subject expertise. And so they can see real return. Hey, I noticed this. And then the community came and, well, hopefully the community came and fixed it. But that's one way to sort of an entree into. And then we find that those people start to be more interested in the SIGs and then eventually even running for councils and things.
Thank you, Sean. That's a good idea.
All right. And then, Katie, thanks so much for joining. Do you have anything that you would like to ask or suggest of the Folio community?
So, probably ask.
I guess I just, how we kind of, eventually getting, more involved, like in product council and things, how, what should our be, we continue to do besides, attending, doing Bug Fest, attending the SIG meetings. Do you have any other recommendations on how we can get more involved? Or kind of through the SIGs is kind of the best way to get
Yeah, the
started.
SIGs are all often looking for people to chair them. So if you're looking for that kind of involvement, I see that, and that's a great way to sort of move up in the community.
Thank you, Lisa. I don't know if any of my colleagues have any questions. Okay. Well, thank you for inviting us. We're very excited. I enjoy what I've done in the Folio community so far. I enjoy attending the SIGs and getting involved more. I look forward to that. It is really overall a great community.
Well, thank you, Katie. Stephen, I noticed that you had unmuted ever so slightly. Would you like to add anything?
I was just going to say this has been helpful already, so thank you. And I didn't have any other additional questions.
Well, and I would say, at times we've flirted with here's a menu of items or opportunities for people to volunteer, or if you have this many hours and are this type of person, this is how you might get engaged. And I think what we found over time is it's Folio is so big and it fits so many people, it's hard to codify it and tee it up like that. So I think what you're doing is actually the best possible way is put out your net, put out your antenna and your tentacles and see what triggers it, and then you'll find a pathway. So thank you so much for participating in the SIGs and for making the introduction, and thank you most of all for becoming members, because it takes both in-kind resources but also financial resources to make the project run. And if you are willing and able, please linger for the rest of the session, because we'll be talking about something very germane, which is how do we increase Folio membership. And in part, how do we increase Folio membership by giving a stronger sense of return on investment for people who would like to contribute? Right.
Thank you.
Katie, would you be able to drop the share? Thank you. That's great.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I thought I did.
We
Thank
were
you.
seeing your secret screen presenter view, which was wonderful. We could see the forward and back buttons, but there was nothing salacious in there as far as I could tell. All right. So for the remainder of today's meeting, what we wanted to do was pick up on a theme that had come up during the face-to-face meetings at WolfCon, which was membership value and membership benefits. So at both the Tri-Council meeting, excuse me, and the Community Council meeting, there was discussion about wanting to expand but needing to do something more than just offering a larger logo on the community website. Vanessa, I'm quoting you as because right now some of the differences between the various tiers are there's not, you can give more money, but there's not necessarily more benefits. And we know that many members or many institutions are inclined to become members, but especially in public institutions, they can't just do it because they like the way it feels or it's a contribution. There has to be some return. There is an associated question with this is what should the membership monies pay for? Because right now we've accrued funding. There are some more things that we would like to fund, but we don't have enough funding, for example, to cover all of AWS costs or to cover full salaries for central staff. And in the old adages, it takes money to make money. We're trying to figure out what are some areas where the Folio community could begin offering more value for membership, and therefore increase membership and therefore have a still stronger community. For anyone else who was party to these conversations, do you have anything to add? Is it good enough framing? Great. I'm seeing nods. There were two or three related developments that spun immediately after Tri-Council and Community Council. And the first one actually is, I would say, is the member feedback survey that Sean developed. Is slightly out of order on this. My apologies. And then Maccabee and Lisa McColl used that survey and had a discussion at the Mid-Atlantic Folio User Group. So Sean, would you be able to just give a little bit of intro in the linked Folio member feedback survey?
Yes, hello everyone. Again, Sean Nicholson, Michigan State University. Coming out of WolfCon in Kansas City, there was, as we just heard, quite a bit of interest in trying to understand our current membership, why they're members. Missouri was just put on the hot seat to answer that question. And it's one that many of our organizations sort of address. So we thought maybe we could come up with something a little more rigorous to gain some understanding and also hopefully figure out some gaps. Because, of course, a good organization wants to be responsive, be valuable, and be relevant to its members. And so after the conversation, it was a pretty easy task for me to take some really good generative ideas at the face-to-face meeting. And this is a little plug. I think while it's delightful that we can have a truly worldwide contributions with Zoom or these online meetings, there's something still for people like my age in the face-to-face. So I hope that we can continue to find ways to gather in person, because when you're getting a drink at the water fountain, often a little discussion happens. And so I put together this survey. It's linked there. And its goals are really to understand our current membership. And we do have a membership committee that maintains an active roster along with the official treasurer of paying members. And so the idea is that we can survey them to understand in a somewhat rigorous way why they're members and what things are going to gather, with the ultimate goal is to then reach out to maybe upwards of 300 institutions from some of our investigation that currently use Folio but are not members. And perhaps we could reach them and bring them into the fold and do some of the things that Missouri just shared with us why they become members. And thankfully, after I put together the survey, Maccabee and Lisa were willing to take this for a test spin at one of their regional meetings. And I think it might be, before we talk about next steps, it might be a nice handoff to Maccabee and Lisa to talk about what they learned test driving the instrument that I put together. Does that sound like a reasonable plan, Maccabee and Lisa? Excellent. I'll
Yeah,
be back
absolutely.
for questions. So thanks.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah, so this event is the Folio Mid-Atlantic User Group. This was, I think, the fourth year of it. Stephanie Caselli from Cairn University has been the organizer, and it rotates around Philadelphia area, colleges. I gave a presentation there. Lisa very kindly took notes on some discussion, so I'll give a little bit of a info dump and then ask Lisa to please correct my many mistakes of how I'm summarizing it. But I did link in the minutes today to both the the presentation that I gave and to the to Lisa's notes from the presentation. So as context, there were, I don't know, there were maybe 50 people there, Lisa. Is that a rough number? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Almost all small institutions, with the exception of a group of us from Lehigh and one of your Stanford colleagues, Tom, who happens to live in New Jersey. And so she hopped over. It's mostly small universities in the area, small colleges, almost entirely privates. So we're talking about like Cairn University, Pennsylvania College of Osteopathic Medicine, Lycoming University, Washington College, institutions like that. Small staff sizes, small budgets, and so forth. So that's the context in which this discussion was. So I started off my presentation just giving them a slide or two on some of the activities of the councils recently, some of the things that might catch their interest, and a few bullet points about this sustainability of the project work that Community Council and others have been talking about for months. And then I also showed them where the community budget is, just to give them context of why we're trying to look for fundraising here. The fact that actually this current fiscal year budget has a projected like 100K deficit there. And just to give context on sort of why the Community Council is in part looking to improve participation. After that intro, I asked them to actually take the survey. And I told them to skip the first page, which is really about why they decided to be Folio members, because they haven't. Almost no one in this room was a current Folio community member. They're just, or not just, they're institutions that that use Folio, you know, that are live on it almost entirely. But very few of them are community members. So, but I asked them to take the rest of the survey, largely, which is about what might incentivize them to be members. Or I asked them to take it in that context. And then we had a discussion afterwards where I asked them both the two questions that Sean had asked me to forward. On the one hand, to discuss some of their answers to the survey itself. And then secondly, if there were any improvements that they would suggest to the survey mechanism, how we might ask those questions better, either in the survey or otherwise. I'll short circuit the second part of that to say that no one really had any feedback on the survey itself or how we could ask it better. Part of that was because of the responses to the survey itself. So there was a fair amount of interest. Oh, and I'll also say I'm not looking at the actual data. It's certainly possible that the data that they submitted in the survey was different than what they were willing to say in discussion. I'm only looking at the discussion here. And thanks again to Lisa's notes. So there was lots of interest in the training and related aspects, like the one-on-one conversations and expertise. There were, you know, of the, I'll just share the one slide from the presentation that basically summarized those, that part of the survey. So there was lots of interest in the various things under training and support, in various permutations. I think that's worth talking through. There was, however, almost no interest in any of the other things, listed on this slide, at least in that audience. And again, looking at the survey responses, there may be some differences there. But there, no one was really asking about the events and the governance influence and things like that. Not that they might not like to, but those weren't major motivators. The one thing on this list that's actually a current benefit, other than the logo size, right? The actual registration discounts for WolfCon, that was not really seen as a benefit because the travel costs to WolfCon so overwhelm the registration cost that it ends up being a tiny percentage. And that's even in the context of US based WolfCon, which again, almost none of these institutions are able to travel to WolfCon even when it's in the US, let alone there was some laughing about the idea of Prague travel. Again, the registration would be such a tiny percentage there that it wouldn't be a motivator. The institutions were positive, like they understood the need. They appreciated the values of the open source community and participation and ways that they could help. They weren't against the goal of it, but financially, the overwhelming message was that it was just the membership levels as they are right now don't work for institutions of their sizes. There was some discussion about the human contribution option for membership, but the person who presented that saw 20 hours and they weren't sure 20 hours per what. When they found out that it was 20 hours per week, there was a lot of laughing about that too, because these are institutions with such small staff sizes that the idea of half a person's time on their job is just infeasible given the number of staff that they have in the first place. And they also weren't clear what that staff time might cover. And I think that's something that could be clarified, you know, what sorts of contributions of time might be worth something. There was some interest in the group membership idea and discussion about what that group might mean. Would the Mid-Atlantic user group itself be a group? You know, would some of the existing consortia like PALSI or other regional consortia, could those be a vehicle for some sort of group-based membership? There was some interest in that. There was also the mechanism that CC has come up with to include some contribution as part of the vendor bill. There was some interest in that as well. Not universal, but some. You know, there were definitely some institutions that were willing to do that, especially for amounts that were much smaller than the membership official amounts. That's I guess my summary of the notes. But Lisa, please chime in. What did I overlook or get not, you know, do badly?
I think you got everything. I guess I wanted to emphasize, I did think the interest in having the fee and not be another membership fee that their higher ups were going to see. I don't know if that's possible, but having it, for lack of a better word, buried a little bit more, like the willingness was there by the attendees, the goodwill towards contributing to the open source project. It wasn't like we want to hold on to our money, we don't want to pay. It was like our administrators are going to see this line item and reject it. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and this is a context, I mean, this is probably true nationally, but in the Philly area as well, there have been a lot of small colleges closing and or consolidating, right, over the last couple of years. It's that kind of budgetary environment.
Although I do one more thing, I don't know if anyone from Villanova is here or comes to these meetings, but Villanova was they're not large, but they're certainly not as small as some of the other ones that we're referring to. So they were there as well.
Great, Maccabee, Lisa, thanks so much. Any reactions from the group? Kristen.
Hey, so, you know, I've been working on that membership subgroup that got put in place last year. And I guess, you know, I'm trying to think of a way to be thinking about this, because some of what we're trying to do is encourage people to become members by offering them benefits. And in some cases, it would be taking away benefits from non-members to give benefits to members. And I could see that having a downside as well, because they might not become members, and then we've lost people that were contributing. You know, I don't know if you remember, for those of you like Lisa, that was part of Olay,